minor prophet in the Old Testament. See it on the screen or see it on the sign up here. Anybody in here got light bulbs that's lasted over 40 years? I've been tempted to dig into it and see what kind of light bulb it is, but didn't do that. I was afraid it might quit working. So anyway, Micah chapter 6 this morning. And Jessica, she was asking me what the name title for the message was today. And I told her Micah 6:8. And she said, "Well, what's the title?" And I said, "You already know." She looked at me puzzled, like, "I don't remember you telling me." No, I said, "No, I didn't explain that very well. The message title is 'You Already Know.'" So I threw her a loop there. Sorry about that. If you go to the doctor for a checkup, and he says your blood pressure's high, and he tells you some things that you should do, and he gives you some medication, then you go back in 3 months and your blood pressure's still high, and then he asks you that question, "How much water are you drinking?" Because you're dehydrated. And he tells you then, "You need to drink more water." "Okay, doc, sure." So you go to another doctor, another appointment, and that doctor says, "You need to drink more water." But you still don't get it. You don't drink more water. You're only drinking maybe a cup a day of water. Are you taking the doctor's advice to help you? You think that you're automatically going to have good blood pressure and you're going to be healthy? We have to take the advice, don't we? And I want you to know that God is so loving and so kind and so full of mercy that He says to us, "You already know. But I'm going to keep telling you. I want you to keep coming to me because I'm going to keep explaining it to you because I know how you are. I know how you work. I know how you behave. I know how you think. And I want to show you the way to live. I want to show you the way to live because I want for you an abundant life above all that I could say." God wants for us. And He wants us to listen to Him and obey. Right? We're supposed to listen and obey to God. Well, this country preacher, Micah, he lived 25-some miles southwest, I believe it was, out of Israel. And this country preacher gives Israel a message that is so profound. This message he could preach today and apply to us right now. Let's suppose that he paints this picture of us, for us, standing in the courtroom. The judge is God. In this court of law, Israel is on trial. In Micah 6:8, we'll go over this verse one more time, but in Micah 6:8, he says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Let's talk to Him. Father in heaven, we humbly come before You, God, realizing that my words means nothing, but Your words means everything. So, Father, I pray that You would speak through me the words that we may hear and apply to our life. I pray that You change our hearts this morning, I pray that God, that you change us and begin to reveal to us, illuminate your plans, your path, your directions. And may, Lord, we seek you continually and talk to you and listen to you. Father, I pray today that if there's anyone here that does not know you as personal Savior and that you are Lord of their life, that today they will believe in what God did to raise you from the dead and confess you as Lord. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here that is on that journey, but God's circumstances of life has pulled them away and drawn them away from that close, intimate relationship with you, that God, today, that they would turn to you, asking for forgiveness and setting them afresh and anew. God, I pray that those are here today that their hearts are troubled. That God, that there's some questions that they're wanting to ask you. There's some things that they want you to do in their life and reveal to them. Lord, I pray that you would just illuminate to them through the Holy Spirit the freedom to come to an altar and humbly bow before you and talk to you and listen. Have your way. Be glorified in this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, Micah's picturing a court of law and Israel's on trial. He says, contending the mountains and the hills and the strong foundations, hear the controversy the Lord has for His people. In other words, he's saying, everything, listen. Listen to God. Listen to where you are in reality. In chapter 1 of Micah, he tells us that there's no place to hide. He tells them then, Micah tells them, he's preaching, his country preacher's teaching them, there's no place you can hide from God. In 2024, is there any place that you can hide from God now? Some of y'all are not convinced or just didn't say nothing. Is there really any place in 2024 that you can actually hide from God? Is there any thought that you have in your mind that God does not already know? Wow. In Micah chapter 1, verse 7, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it of the hire of a harlot, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and hollow. God is trying to get their attention, that He's so passionately trying to get them to repent and turn their hearts back to God, because this is what can happen. This is the consequences of your actions. You think that you're gaining the whole world. You think that you're gaining all this stuff and this reputation. You're trying to influence people. You're trying to put all these idols before God. But I'm telling you, they will lay desolate. They'll mean nothing. He is warning them that, guys, this is serious business. In fact, I would encourage you, if you're not already on a reading plan and a daily quiet time that you get along with God, that you begin to read the book of Micah. Because it applies to our life today. Even in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You remember the statement where what good can come out of Bethlehem? Look at verse 2 in chapter 5. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and everlasting. He is speaking that the Messiah is coming. And He's coming to Bethlehem. At that particular time when Jesus was born, there was two Bethlehems, so they had to determine the detail of which Bethlehem. And the Bible in Micah details that the prophet is saying it's coming from Bethlehem. And he tells them specifically where he's coming from. This is a wonderful book. And Micah 6 is detailing and confronting the sin of what was going on then. The whole book is detailing what is going on. He is confronting them with what's going on in the reality of their life. They think they're going through the motions of religious. They think they're going through the motions of doing this and that, and they're all good. But God is really searching their hearts here and telling them, guys, you need to turn your life back to Me. You're not serving Me. You're doing all these rituals, but obedience is so much more important. He's detailing that. This actually could be confronting us today. Because I believe that we need a reality check. A wake-up call, if you would. I think that we need to stop pretending that we're living when in reality we really need to start living the life for the glory of God. And start living the life that He called for you and I to live. I believe that today He's trying to get our attention to say, now is the time. Now is the time for you to wake up and begin to serve Me and bring Me the glory and the honor for all that I can do through you and for His kingdom. Now is the time. You look around you and you see the turmoil. You think things are upside down, but God can do all things. He can turn it all around. He can turn your life all around. And sometimes we're just going through the motions of life, but we're really not living the life that God called us to live. And today I believe He's wanting us to wake up and take a reality check. Question I have for you this morning is this. I believe God is wanting us, even though He already knows. Does Christ live in you? Now you're the only one that can answer that. I can't answer that for you. But I believe as I ask that this morning, is Christ living in you? I really believe that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you whether He is or not. And if He's not, I got good news. He can today. He can move in and take residence and begin to change your life so that you're bringing Him the glory and you have the peace that passes all understanding to know that you're His and He's yours. Praise be to God. Now, if you're living in Christ, where are you taking Him? Where are you taking Him? I mean, if you're going someplace you ought not to be, and you're getting ready to go, do you say, God, no, you stay here. You can't go. And He keeps walking with you. And you say, you know what you're fixing to do. You know where you're fixing to go. And you really don't want Him to go. No. You need to stay here. But if Christ is living in you, He's going with you anyway. And He may be prompting you not to go. Where are you taking Him? When you sit down and you click in or you watch, what are you and Him watching? What are you seeing? What are you watching? What are you saying? What are you talking to other people about while He's still there? I think it's kind of funny, in a way, that be out somewhere and I'll just be standing there and somebody start cussing. And they look over at me and go, oh, sorry, Pastor. I'm like, you don't need to tell me sorry. You better tell somebody higher than me sorry. What are you thinking about with Him? And if we be honest, do what is just, be merciful, need to walk humbly with God. We know this. We know this. We've heard this. But it's time that we realize those things in our life that we need to square up and be right standing with God. That we should be honoring Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and bringing Him the glory for all He's doing in our lives and through our lives. We need to repent and start living it out. Knowing it's one thing, but living it out is something different. I can know God's Word, but if I don't live it out, what good is it? Just like them, sometimes we act as if God's not with us. And then God confronts us with something, and we try to discard it. Or we finally sit down and say, okay, yes, God, I know. What else do you want? That's kind of what some people do. God is asking in verse 3 of Micah chapter 6, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. And that's a question. Why are you testifying against me? For I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I have sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. I have done these things for you. What are you trying to say? Why, you think I've wearied you? Why do you testify against me? The reaction and the rebellion is, how do you repay the Lord? You indulge in the world's pleasures and disobey God? In this text, the people were heavily involved in sexual immorality and idolatry. Much of Micah's indictment here in the courtroom, so to speak, against Israel and Judah involves these nations, their injustice toward the poor people, the lowly people. There was a lot of injustice over the leaders and rulers for the poor people. Unjust business dealings that the people got by with. The good old boy system. There was much robbery and looting. The mistreatment of women and children. And a government that lived a luxury lifestyle. But they overcame and they did things to the nation's people that just wasn't right. They made rulings and things against other people so that they would personally gain. They would lie to people just so that they'd get their vote. They'd lie to people so that they'd think they're doing good. In reality, they wasn't. That's what was going on in that culture. This, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, is a passionate plea for the people to repent and return to God. Your life may not be as extreme disobedient to God as it reveals there, but the truth is, every one of us has areas of our life and things in our life that we shouldn't do or we shouldn't say. We also have those areas of our life where we should be doing something that we're not. The good news is in 1 John chapter 1, you turn there. I believe you needed to look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess... That word confess there means admit. Admit. That means we're not sorry for our sins. We're convicted of our sin that we need to turn around. We need to admit our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Is that good news? I mean, He doesn't debate it. He didn't take it before a council. When we admit it, He's faithful and just. You don't have to worry, did He or didn't He? And please don't allow Satan to go, well, He really didn't mean that. No. Satan's a master of lies. Don't listen to him. If He says He's faithful and just, He is faithful and just. Amen? And so He forgives our sins. And to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. No. That ain't what He said. Praise God. He said to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That sounds like cleaning up. Right? But look at verse 10. Here's the part that we don't hide. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. Is God a liar? No, Satan's the liar. God's not a liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Pretty serious. Pretty serious. A reality check, a wake-up call, if you will. God, reveal to me those areas of life that I need to get right with You. Because God is good and God is merciful. He's full of grace and goodness. Or at least He has been to me. How about you? In verse 4 there, He said in Micah 6, He said He redeemed. Has God redeemed you? In other words, has He paid the price for your sin and covered you with His blood so that you can have an intimate, personal relationship with Him? If God has redeemed you, you should praise God. You believe in Him and confess Him as Lord, then you have brought up, you have been brought up out of the pit of hell where you were headed. Praise God if you've been redeemed. Amen. If He has redeemed you and you believed in Him and confessed Him as Lord, then you have been brought up out of your destination of hell. You no longer have to impress people. You no longer have to perform and do the little song and dance to be loved. For God so loves you. You are loved. Whether you can sing, whether you can dance, whether you can perform this or do this, God loves you. You don't have to impress people. You look around you. Noah and I talked this week that all these people try to impress other people. They try to do these things and they try to perform and get better and better so that people will like them better and better. And they do all that stuff. You don't have to do nothing to make God love you more. God loves you. And because He loves you and you love Him, it's not a performance. It's for His glory. It's for Him that we serve. It's for Him that we sing, whether we're in tune or not. It's for Him that we do the things we do. Not to try to impress somebody and say, well, I did this. No, it's for God's glory, for His kingdom, to see His people come to know Him better, to encourage one another, to love one another, to see people come to Christ, that they can begin to live as well. It's not a performance. It's a grace journey. It's by God's grace that we live. Let me explain a little further. Do you think you get more points with God by coming to church? I don't want to be a deterrent because I'm glad you're here. He said we ought to gather ourselves together, right? He said we ought to come together and worship Him, right? But it's not a point system. It's because we love Him. Right? Let me go just dig a little deeper. I want to get a little deeper here. Do you think you get points if you've been given $20 for the last 20 years and you're making well over that, and that's not even close to your 10%, and decide one day, you know what? I'm going to give $21 into my tithes this week. Do you think you get more points with God? I know I'm meddling. But I want you to know that we give with a joyful heart because He's given to us. And we know what He requires of us, and therefore we give. We give of our finances, we give of our time, we give of our talents. We give it to Him because of Him. Because He has redeemed us. It's why we serve Him. It's why we obey Him. Guys, do you think you get more points with God if you take out the trash for your wife? I know some of y'all looking around like, He gone meddling now. You might not get points with God. You might get points with her. But it's a good thing you do that for her because you're serving. I'll get off that real quick. Because God is more interested in our obedience than our sacrifices. God is more interested in our obedience to Him than our sacrifice. And that's exactly what Micah talks about. In verse 6 of Micah, chapter 6, verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be blessed with thousands of rams and with thousands of the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body and the sin of my soul? That's what they're asking. They're asking, Lord, is this a point system? Can I sacrifice all this stuff and be in right standing with You? That's where we come to it. Can I do all these things and be in right standing with You? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus Himself said, if you want to come after Me, you must deny yourself, you must take up your cross daily and follow Me. Okay? We must admit, recognize our sin, and look to God. It's not something new. It's not a secret. God's already told you. You know it, but are you willing to obey it? God has and is continually showing us what is good. So His message to you is not to settle for less when He, God, has the very best. Trust Him. He can be trusted. Come to Christ and live. What is required of you? He said it there in verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? That's not a suggestion. Okay? That's not a suggestion. So when you see a stop sign or a red light, that's not a suggestion. Okay? Stop me. Stop, right? Red light means stop. We'll not get into the yellow light because I know some of us are guilty. But the red light means stop. It's required. What is required of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Treat others as Christ treated you. Treat them as people whom God created in His image. Now, we may love mercy ourselves, but do we give mercy to others? And Charles Spurgeon said this about walking humbly with God. He said, walk humbly when you're spiritually strong. Walk humbly when you have much work to do. Walk humbly in all your motives. Walk humbly studying God's Word. Walk humbly when under trials and tribulations. Walk humbly in your devotions. Walk humbly between you and your brothers in Christ. Walk humbly when dealing with sinners. We live by faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Folks, that courtroom scene will take place for every one of us. That courtroom scene will take place for every one of us. In James chapter 2, verse 13, the Word of God says, for he shall have judgment without mercy. He shows no mercy. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now you have the opportunity to receive His grace and mercy. But in judgment, it'll be true and it'll be just. It is impossible for God to allow sin in heaven. But the good news is, forgiveness is available through the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for us on the cross. If you believe God raised Him from the dead and confess Him as Lord, you shall be saved. You must turn. The Bible uses the term repent, which is an about face, to repent from sin and self and turn to God and allow Him to be the controller of your life so that you may live. Call on Him. Call on Him. And live. We've heard it. He showed us. He's speaking to us today. What are we going to do about it? How do we respond to it? Would you like to receive the forgiveness of God by trusting Him today? He's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What is He wanting you to do? Don't let nobody else or what anybody else thinking prevent you from coming to Christ to live and to begin to live the life that He's called you to live. Now is the day. He's calling us. Come to Christ and live. Father in heaven, as You have spoken to us today, may we not just hear it. May we not just feel Your presence. May we come close to You. May we make that commitment. May we make that repentance so that we could be cleansed from all unrighteousness to come. Live the life that God, that You have called for us. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit, would You just draw people to You, to God today, for salvation, for renewed life, for what's troubling their hearts and minds to need You to speak to them directly about Your plan. God, I don't know hearts and minds, but You do. And I know that You love them, that You have good intended for them. And I know that, God, that You want to show them mercy today and love, that they can walk with You day by day and know that You're right there beside of them. And that if we abide in You and Your Word abide in us, that, God, that fruit will bear for Your glory and Your honor. May we recognize that we can do nothing without you. May, Lord, today, you just have an open field. Holy Spirit, just move on people that they don't worry about what other people think, but they just talk to you. Make that decision they need to make and step close to you. Bless this invitation, O Lord, for your glory, for your honor. And may we obey and walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?